Welcome back to Silver Screen Social, listeners. I'm your host, Jackson Vickery, and on this episode, I spoke to editor Laurent Senechal about his work on Anatomy of a Fall. Please enjoy this clip of Sandra Hüller in the film before the interview begins.
You complain about the life that you chose. You are not a victim. Not at all. Your generosity conceals something dirtier and meaner. You're incapable of facing your ambitions, and you resent me for it, but I'm not the one who put you where you are. I've nothing to do with it. You're not sacrificing yourself, as you say. You choose to sit on the sidelines because you're afraid. Because your pride makes your head explode before you can even come up with the little gem of an idea. And now you wake up and you're 40 and you need someone to blame. And you're the one to blame. You're petrified by your own fucking standards. And your fear of failure. This is the truth.
I am so honored to meet you. This is just an absolute thrill to be chatting with you.
Oh, thank you. What a beginning.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first off, congratulations on the Oscar nomination.
Thank you. It's amazing.
Yeah. Where were you that morning or afternoon when you found out?
In fact, I was working in Paris on the new film, and I had I think that it's Justine. She called me. She called me. I was paying at the restaurant, and she was she called me. No, my wife called me, but Justine in the meantime was calling me, and I was like everyone was saying shouting. The Oscars, the Academy, you're in. And I was like, I had to pay. So, and it was a really strange moment. But it was great. It was great.
Yeah.
I had to not to show too much how impressed and happy I were at this very moment, because I was, in front of another director. And we were like very concentrated on his movie, talking about all the problems that we still have into it. And I didn't feel like, it's great. But I had to keep it on the fridge. And at night we had a party with Justine and the producers and a part of the crew. There I was really happy, and we danced and we celebrated.
Fantastic and very well deserved. But I have to ask first, how did the script fall in your lap first?
The script, Justine, I really know really well Arthur Harari and Justine Triet. I'm editing the movies of both of them. So I knew that they were writing together, and they are, both of them are writer director, and they give me several versions to read when they are writing, and because they were together, it was really important for them to have my reading, and since the very first reading, I was really impressed by the strength, the power of the story, how we are, it's catchy from the first scene to the end. Of course, there were many things to say, but the main thing to say was that it was like a river. You are taken by the story, and then you are, even it's a bit long, you cannot do something else than go on and in order to know what was going on. Was really well done, the script, really well done.
And so can you talk to me just about the sort of first few meetings with Justine in terms of establishing the correct tone with this film?
Justine and I, we really know each other. It's the third film we do together. And for that one, I didn't make an assembly edit because she's not into that. She cannot work like that. She's really she has to do to be there when we are choosing the material, because there's something special about Justine is the way she has to start from the acting to work. She's really looking in, seeking the vivid material. She's really instinctive, and we really care about what the actors are giving, and we are starting to work to create scenes from moments we really like, and around this we are creating scenes. It's not like, yeah, this scene, then after this scene we do a rough cut and then we are going to improve it, and it's not the academic way to work. She's really it's rather like a sculptor. Do you understand when I say that?
Sculptor, yeah.
Yeah, we are, yeah, working the material and gathering things together, but with our way to be enjoyed by what is happening on the screen with the actors, you know. When we find it's fun, we are using it. Even if we have two takes, three takes, maybe sometimes four takes, we are creating scenes and alternative scenes a lot before having the scene. And of course, when we have all the scenes, one after the other, that's becoming a movie, and when we are looking at the whole thing, we are redesigning, refining things. But from the very first gesture of editing, with Justine, it's not my method, is I'm adapting to how she is working and how she is feeling things. And we are, from the very first moment, trying to use the best acting material first of everything.
Mm. Yeah. Sorry.
Right. Oh, no, it's okay. I'm finished.
I was just going to comment. I mean, what's so fascinating to me is, I mean, like you said, you could have, I mean, four or five takes of something, and it could complete, just that one sort of clip in the edit could sort of sway the viewer's opinion in terms of, are they guilty? Are they not guilty? And I feel like that, I mean, that is what this entire movie is about. And so I'm curious what sort of sequence or scenes or set of scenes was the most difficult for you to sort of, I mean, toe that line so beautifully, because you really don't, I mean, I love movies that leave you with a huge question mark at the end and you don't have that final conclusion. And I'm just curious how you sort of toed that line between, oh, she's guilty. Oh, no, she's not guilty. Oh, she's guilty.
Yeah, in fact, what we wanted to have with Justine since the beginning was to go a little further than this only question. Of course, it's the play we are having with the audience, because we don't show to the audience what happened, and this is the first original manipulation. But after that, what our line, our star to follow was to create as much as possible a direct access to empathy to the main character. And Sandra Hüller is a so great actress. She's giving you an access to so many things, but in a candid way. And that's what we were looking for, because we didn't want a clever movie where for 15 minutes you are thinking that she's guilty, and then for 15 minutes you are thinking that she's not guilty. And it was not that simple game. You know, we wanted it to be with more vertigo. And the vertigo comes from the endearment that you are starting to have with her, even though you still have doubts about her, you know. The main challenge of the movie is to lead the audience to be endeared by her, And even if you will never really know who is she. So it was really important for us in the editing process to pay really attention to scenes that would be driving the character into a manipulative, too much manipulative mood, you know, for the audience, because we couldn't accept to follow her for all those very long trial scenes if we think that she's like a very manipulative woman. We had to stay in this strange zone, strange area where you don't know, but you are with her. You know? It was really important. And sometimes we had some shapes of the scenes that could make the audience derail from this endearment and strange and complex endearments that we are living with Sandra, you know. So it was trying and involving and reshaping things, but I don't have examples. So I can tell you this: we have a scene that is still in the movie where it's at night, it's snowing, and she's drinking with her lawyer between two trial scenes. And at the beginning of this scene, she's like as in the lightness as him. But she is, becoming more into gravity. Do you understand when I say that? Mm-hmm. Into feelings, more darker feelings. And she's wondering, how do you see me? Do you judge me? I can see you to judge me. And I'm innocent, you know that. She's like stressed by the situation. And at the beginning, this scene was very long. It was an 8 minute scene, very long. And she was so into lightness. She was seducing him. And their ancient relationship was coming. And it was a very great scene. Everybody was in love with this scene. But we had to cut it to be stuck in the trial with her. Like, we cannot be in this lightness. Because if we do that, in fact, we discovered that the whole trial, she was becoming a very manipulative and duplicitous character, and we could not follow the movie as soon as we did that. And also when she was like too innocent, it was not good. So we had to shape all scene and all set of scenes in order that we keep this ambiguity area where it's like paradoxical, but it's ambiguous, but you are with her step by step in this everyday life. This was what we had to do, and it was really hard to do, but that's why we took time to do it.
Mm. And how
I'm a bit long, sorry.
No, that's perfectly fine. And how did you guys land on the ending? I'm curious if that was the way it was written in the script, or was that another sort of sculpting scene per se?
The what? I didn't catch the word.
Oh, the ending of the film.
Ending. Oh, okay. The ending. Most of it was written, but the way we did it was to find, but it's really often the case, every editor would say that about every movie, to find the very good proportion of all this. You know, we avoid, we canceled a lot of lines. What are you calling the ending? Because when she is acquitted, in the material, in the script, there was a very long scene in the restaurant. It was like a Won Sang-soo scene or a Cassavetes scene with alcohol and jokes and all this. And it was in order to show that it's really hard for her to come back in the house and to face the boy. And she was like making this long restaurant night lasting, in order not to go back because she's scared. And we had to put we had to find the less is more thing for each of the last scenes, you know. And even in the room, in the bedroom of the boy, we had only two lines now. There were many of them. It's only what is happening, the chemistry between the two of them. We can feel the complexity, the burning complexity into the boy and into the mother. But we know so many things at the end of the movie that at the end of a movie, so the better you can show things but not say things, the better is the movie, you know. You can have emotions there if you are talking too much. So we had to show, to find in the material, what was the better acting silently here to make it something, but not to, use lines and blah, blah, blah about it. That's what we did.
Yeah.
But the end was written.
And very final quick question, can you listen to the song Pimp anymore?
it's interesting because it's so huge, this nomination, that I had to communicate on the social media about it, and I did what everyone in the crew do. I had those several posts with Pimp in it, you know. And while doing it, I was like not completely okay with it because this music is there. But in fact, the music, I can no more listen to it. But recently I saw the movie for the second time, because the first time I saw it with an audience, it was in the premiere at Cannes. But the world premiere. And it was great, but I saw it recently in the theater in Paris, and for me, the music is in this movie is not. It's like a character. It's not a music. So when I'm in front of the movie, I'm not bored by this cue, you know, because it's really like someone. It's and in the first scene, it's like taking all the space. It's exactly like the body of the father that we don't know. He's like taking all the space with this music. And when it's coming back in the trial, we have this scene. I don't know if I was talking about that with you, but the transition comes from the boy who is playing piano really better than before. And we have this 1 year later thing. And the trial is beginning by the sound of Pimp. We have this dissolve between the piano of the boy and the sound of Pimp, recorded by the student of the beginning and played in the courtroom. And that's the way we come into the trial. It's a very interesting way to start the second part of the movie for me. It was a We were really happy to have this, and what I'm saying is that the music is not only music in this movie. It's a projection of the character or the situation. The music is like the father. Pimp is the father in the movie, and it's the body of the father. The piano things are how the boy is towards his mother. Or himself, you know. It's and there are no score music, and that's why it's not boring, even if I know it so well.
Yeah,
because it's character. So I have emotions, real emotions, when I listen to that.
Love that. I know we're over time, and I just have to thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Thank you very much.
Such an honor.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. And congratulations again. And can't wait to watch Oscar evening to see if you take it home.
For me, I already won because it's so amazing what is happening. A nomination here is like, I have it.
Yeah.
Already, I already have something that I just couldn't expect. So I'm the lucky guy.